Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. We're going to be talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you ever heard anyone say that they're spiritual but not religious. I don't know exactly what that means. But in the Bible, when it talks about a spiritual person, we're talking about someone who has the Holy Spirit in them. And that's what we're going to be talking all about this evening. All right, but Romans 8 is where we're going to be. I don't know if you know this, but Pastor Mark has a Tesla. And when I was looking at his, the giant screen they have in the Tesla, it says there's a trunk, but it also says there's a frunk. And I was like, what is a frunk? And basically it's a trunk, but in the front, right? Because, and I realized that in a normal car, if you lift up the hood, this is what a normal car looks like, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. There's all sorts of things that, you know, your dad would probably know what to do with, right? There's all this important stuff that makes the car run, right? There's battery stuff, and there's all these pipes, and there's coolant, and there's all these things in there. In a Tesla, if you lift up the hood, you've got this, right? You've got a trunk, but in the front, right? It's a frunk. This is not Pastor Mark's Tesla. I wouldn't be surprised if he did keep this in his Tesla, but it's not. But the whole point is that the reason that there's this empty space in the front of a Tesla is because it's not powered by an engine, it's powered by electricity, right? Now, the thing with the Tesla is without electricity, Pastor Mark and I are having this debate about if the government cuts off all the power and all the resources and we're running for our lives, is it better to have a full electric car or a full gas car to survive, right? Would you rather have, rig up your own solar panels or buy your own gasoline? What would you rather? So anyway, it was fun conversation. But the whole point is Tesla is useless without electricity, right? You can sit in the car, you can do all the things, but if there's no electricity in it, it's not going to work. That's how it runs. It's completely electric. And I want you to see that as a Christian, the Christian life is completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Everything that Christians do is completely 100% reliant on the Holy Spirit. In fact, you could say something like this: being a Christian is supernatural work. You can't just do it on your own. You can't be a Christian just doing regular things without God's intervention. God has to be the one powering what you do, and that comes through the Holy Spirit. So being a Christian has to be done supernaturally. You can't do it on your own. And that's what we're talking about in Romans when we talk about the difference between spirit and flesh. And we talked about this a lot with Romans 7 and Romans 8. The big difference is in Romans 7, there's a lot of talk about the flesh, and that just kind of means separated from God. You could say flesh means natural, right? Everything that's in the box, everything that is just what you do and effort you put into it and the works that you contribute. Whereas spirit is with God's help, what God does in you and through you and for you, right? That's kind of what we're looking at, the difference between spirit and flesh. And what we're going to see is Christians, they live by the Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit, and you cannot do any Christian things without the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian and you say, well, sometimes I have the Holy Spirit's help, you can't say that. That's not true. You always need the Holy Spirit as a Christian. And so what we're going to do in Romans 8 is we're going to see the difference between someone who is living with the Holy Spirit and someone who's living on their own, right? A supernaturally helped person and a natural person, okay? Someone, right, you can think about it as someone whose Tesla has electricity and a Tesla with no electricity. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So you've only got one point on your worksheet, and that's because it's all I want you to focus on. I want you to see the difference between spirit and flesh, or supernatural and natural, if you want to put it that way. You could write that instead if you wanted to. But I want you to see the difference between what God does and God's power and the difference between when it's just you apart from God, independent from God. Someone who's in the flesh, you could say that they're independent from God. They're not connected to anything that God is or does or says, okay? And so as you're looking at this passage and we're talking about this sermon, I want you to think about, do I see evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life? Is there any electricity in my life? Is there any evidence that God is doing stuff in my life? Or am I someone who is just living on my own without God? I'm independent from God. So I want you to one thing to do with the sermon is to use it like a mirror. I want you to look in the mirror of what we're going to look at, Romans 8, 5 through 11, and see, is this me? Am I someone who's living with God's power, or I am someone who's living on my own? That's the first thing I want you to do. The second thing I want you to do is maybe you say you are a Christian. I want you to ask yourself, when I do Christian things, right? When I pray, when I read the Bible, when I love people, when I serve at church, do I do those by my own effort? Or do I do those with God's power? Do I depend on God to do those things? It's kind of like, speaking of old Wii games, like we talked about last week, it's kind of like, you know, this thing on Mario Kart, right? This is a Koopa Cape. This is the Mario Kart Wii version, right? Koopa Cape, the difference between being in the water and being out of the water, right? If you're in the water, you're going real fast because the water is pushing you along, right? If you're out of the water, you can drive, right? You can move forward, but you go a lot slower, right? You can't keep up with the people in the water. The secret to winning at Koopa Cape is being in the water, right? You want to be in the water. And if you're a Christian, sometimes what you do is, as a Christian, you live on your own. You try to drive outside of the water. You try to do things by your own strength, your own effort, your own smartness, your own Bible knowledge, your own goodness. Living with the Holy Spirit's help, you know, you're driving in the water, right? If you're going faster, it makes sense, right? That's kind of what we want for Christians. We want to say, am I doing things on my own effort, my own driving, or am I depending on God to help me do what I'm trying to do for Him? So what we're going to see in this sermon is four differences the Holy Spirit makes in someone's life, okay? So the first one we're going to see is that the Holy Spirit changes your identity, okay? The Holy Spirit changes your identity. So look with me, Romans 8. We're actually going to start in verse 9, okay? Romans 8, verse 9. So the Holy Spirit changes your identity. So here's what He says in verse 9, okay? He says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." So what Paul, our author of Romans, is saying here, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. You cannot be a Christian if the Holy Spirit's not in you. You have no association with Jesus if you don't have the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not present in your life, then you have no right and no reason to say, "I'm a Christian." You might go to church. You might like church. You might like Christian things. You might have good morals. You might be a nice person. But if the Holy Spirit is not present in your life, you're not a Christian. That's what we're looking at here. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in someone. But it changes who you are. He's saying, you, however, are not in the flesh. This is a state of being. This isn't just stuff you do, right? Being in the flesh isn't just, oh, you're sinning a lot. Being in the flesh is a state of being. It's a type of person. The biggest difference between a Christian and an unbeliever, right, is not whether they go to church or not. It's not their church history. It's not who they hang out with. It's not how much they know about God. The biggest difference between a Christian and someone who's not a Christian is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit changes who you are. And that's what changes what you do, right? But the biggest difference is not, you know, oh, well, you know, you can name all the books of the Old Testament in order. Great. You don't need the Holy Spirit to do that, right? The biggest difference is the Holy Spirit. It changes who you are. And that's because when the Holy Spirit's in you, He says, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, right? If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit gives you eternal life starting the moment you become a Christian. Eternal life doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts now. It's kind of like, you know, maybe you're familiar with Ephesians 2. Paul, same author, says you were dead before you were Christian and now you're alive. You're totally different now. You used to be dead, now you're alive. It's not that you were, you were kind of a good person and you were mostly Christian and then the Holy Spirit came into you and then you became like a varsity Christian, right? That's not how this happens. That's not how this works. The Holy Spirit doesn't just kind of change some of your life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and takes you from dead to alive. Big difference, huge difference, biggest difference possible, right? You weren't just sick. You weren't just asleep. You weren't just lazy or groggy or on the bench, right? You went from dead to alive. That's the difference the Holy Spirit makes. It changes who you are. Right? It doesn't just change some stuff about you, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't just change, now they started being nice to their siblings. It changes fundamentally who you are. you are a different person than you were before when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And that's really encouraging when you think about it. Remember in Romans 6, the first command in the whole book of Romans was for you to believe something about yourself if you're a Christian. The first command in the whole book of Romans, the whole letter, didn't come until chapter 6, and he said, consider yourself, think about yourself, as though you're dead to sin. Think about yourself as though you're different than you were before. You were one way, now you're another way. Which hopefully, if you're a Christian, and that hopefully that's encouraging to you. Maybe you're a Christian and you're saying, man, I really struggle with anxiety. I'm just an anxious person. You're saying, oh, I'm a Christian, I really struggle with anger. I'm just an angry person. I'm just not a patient person. I'm just not a loving person. That's not how I operate. It's not what I do. If you're a real Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, you can say, that's not who I am anymore. Right? I'm not an anxious person. I'm a new creation. God has made me alive. I'm different than I used to be. I used to be anxious, now I'm alive. I used to be angry, now I'm not. Right? That sin, like we talked about, doesn't have control over you. That sin isn't on the throne of your life anymore. You can say to that sin, you can say, that's not who I am. Right? When you're tempted to be anxious, when you're tempted to be upset, when you're tempted to lust, when you're tempted to be envying those people or be discontent, you can say, that's not me anymore. I don't do that anymore. I don't live like that anymore because I'm different. Not just I do different things, I'm different, fundamentally changed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Christians live differently. It's not because they want to impress God. It's not because they want to get into heaven, so they have to start doing all these good things. It's because they just became a different person. That's why we talk about when you become a Christian, you start seeing all these changes in your life. You start seeing new desires and new priorities and new habits and all these different things happen because you became a different person. My parents, they weren't married, or they weren't saved when they got married, right? And my mom became a Christian, and my dad's still not a Christian. And I remember my dad a few years ago, he told me something. He said, your mom's a really different person than she was when we got married. He said, she's basically like not the same person anymore. And I thought, that's such a compliment to my mom. That's such an encouraging thing to hear. If you're a Christian, if someone says, man, you're not the person you used to be, that means, oh, God actually did do something to me. Right? I hope if you're a Christian, and maybe you became a Christian recently, right? Maybe you became a Christian a year ago. Maybe you became a Christian 2 or 3 years ago. I hope you can say, man, I'm a different person than I was in fifth grade. I'm a different person than I was 2 years ago. I'm a different person than I was before I became a Christian. And maybe the outside didn't change much because maybe you were a good church kid and you listened to your parents and you liked God, but the inside is different, because the Holy Spirit's there now and you have new motives for the things that you do. So the big difference, one of the big differences is the Holy Spirit changes your identity, changes who you are. Second thing the Holy Spirit does is he changes your destiny. The Holy Spirit changes your destiny. And notice I said he, right? Because the Holy Spirit is a person in the sense that he makes decisions and he knows things and he feels things, right? You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Like in Acts 5, you can make the Holy Spirit sad when you sin, like Ephesians 4 talks about that. So the Holy Spirit's a person. So let's use the Holy Spirit's preferred pronouns, okay? Let's say he and not it, okay? Anyway, Spirit changes your destiny. In Romans 8:11, it says this. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Emphasis here is on mortal, right? Your body's gonna die. Even if you become a Christian, your body's still gonna die. Even if you trust Jesus and you get his righteousness credited to you, so you become good enough to go to heaven because you're relying on him, not yourself, you are still gonna die. And that's kind of confusing because I thought Jesus said that, oh, if anyone believes in me, even if he dies, he's gonna live. Didn't he say it to Lazarus and Mary in John 11? Didn't he say that? Well, what's going to happen is even though your body, right, your outer mortal body is going to die, the Spirit will raise them from the dead. The Holy Spirit is going to raise Christians from the dead. You are going to live forever in a real body, right? When Jesus was raised from the dead, he had a real body. He ate things. He could give people hugs, right? Jesus could have played baseball in his resurrected body if he wanted to, right? Yeah, I mean, right, in the big inning, That's where Jesus was. Anyway, because Eve stole first, Adam stole second. Anyway. I got you. Anyway, so all that to say is God is a baseball fan. But second of all, the Holy Spirit will raise Christians from the dead. And this is, I know it's easy, you're young, you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about dying yet and whatever. But I want you to think about when you die, you are going to one day have a real body that's just as real, in fact, even more real than your body right now. You're gonna be able to touch things and smell things and taste things and see things even more real than you are right now. Like your hand, you're gonna look at your hand and your fingers are gonna move and you're gonna be able to feel your, like your body moving. You're gonna be able to feel like everything. It's gonna be crazy, right? When you're in heaven, you're not just floating around on a cloud. You're not just, you know, in a church service that lasts 8 hours, right? You're gonna do things. You're gonna touch things. You're gonna talk to people. You're gonna hear music. You're gonna see things, right? You're gonna have a real body in heaven. It's gonna really be a real place. There's gonna be a real ground you're gonna walk on. There's gonna be real things and buildings and people that you're gonna talk to, and you're not gonna talk to buildings, but you know what I mean, right? You're gonna do real things, right? Heaven is a real place. That's what I'm trying to get you to think about. You're gonna have a real body that's gonna be really raised from the dead. And I don't know if the last time you went to a funeral or if you've ever been to a funeral, but if you're going to a Christian's funeral, right, maybe you've seen a dead body, right? You can look at that dead person, and if they're a Christian, you're gonna look them in the eye again if you're a Christian, and they're gonna look right back at you, right? One day you're gonna talk to that person if both of you are in heaven, and you're gonna have a real conversation. And I know it seems far away, and it seems like, oh, that's just so far in advance, and I'm in middle school, I don't care about that, right? I just wanna do my thing and not worry about that. But that's gonna last forever, right? This life is gonna last a few decades, right? And then it's gonna be you living forever, either in heaven or in hell. And even in hell, you're gonna have a real body and you're gonna feel real things. You're really gonna feel pain. So the Spirit changes your destiny in the sense of he's gonna raise you from the dead, but also we see this earlier. We're gonna jump up here to verses 6 and the next verse. So we're gonna see the destiny language here. For to set the mind on the flesh, so someone who's giving their allegiance to the flesh, that's death. That's like choosing not just to die, like, oh, my soul is gonna be separated from my body, but it's like death as in like, I'm going the wrong way. I'm living out what's bad for me. But to set the mind on the Spirit, right? If I'm gonna give myself to the Spirit, I'm gonna follow what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, that's life and peace, right? It's good, it's awesome, it's great, it's happy. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If you aren't a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you have no hope of living a truly happy life because you cannot obey God, so you cannot walk the path of life. You cannot walk the path of true joy, of true happiness, of real satisfaction. You can't do it. You can try to grab things to make you happy. You can try to chase those things down. You can try to get a lot of money or make a lot of people like you or find things that make you happy and try to follow those things and get rid of all the toxic people in your life and do all this stuff. And it's not gonna last, right? That is death. You're gonna be unsatisfied and empty and hopeless. But if you are living by the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is in you, if you're with Jesus, right, you are going to walk the path of life. Your destiny is going to change. God promises his people the most amount of joy for the longest amount of time. Psalm 16, that's our theme verse in True North, right? At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God promises to make his people happy. And he also promises that if you reject him, you're choosing the life of death. Not because he hates you, but because you're rejecting the best thing for you. You're saying, I don't want that. I want these worse things. I want money. I want approval. I want pleasure. That's what you're saying. I want that. I don't want God. But God will, is what really is going to make you happy. So the Spirit changes your destiny. And before you're a Christian, I hope you see that this is you, right? If you aren't a Christian or before you're a Christian, you are hostile to God. Someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit isn't just, well, I'm going to, you know, me and God, we're not on bad terms. We're just not on the best terms right now, but one day we'll figure it out. If you aren't a Christian, you are hostile to God. You are opposing God. You are actively working against God, rebelling God and hating God. If you're not a Christian, that's you right now. If you are a Christian, this was you at some point in your life before the Holy Spirit changed you. You weren't just kind of a bad person. You were hostile to God. You were opposing God. You were God's enemy. You were hating God. And if you think about this, even as a Christian, your sin is still, you're still doing these acts that are hostile to God, right? You as a person no longer are hostile to God, but you're living like someone. You're doing the things that people who are hostile to God do, people who hate God do. When you sin, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I'm going to do the things that people who hate God do. That's kind of crazy. And I want you to think of your sin that way. I know that's so helpful for me. When I think of my sin, rather than just, oh, I messed up. But think of your sin as, oh, this is me hating God. Right? When I'm sinning, I'm telling God, I hate you. When I'm sinning, I'm telling God, you're not good enough. I don't trust you. I don't want you. This is better than you. Right? Think of your sin that way. Make it personal, right? And that will help you fight it. If you love God, you're going to be like, man, I hate that. I don't want to do that thing to God. I don't want to tell God that. I don't want to show that to God. I want to show God how awesome he is and how great he is. So the Holy Spirit changes your destiny. The third thing the Holy Spirit changes is your mentality. Your mentality. We're looking at this phrase where it says that you're setting your mind on something. Right? So the Holy Spirit, he changes who you are. He changes where you're going. He changes now what you want and what you think about, what's important to you, right? So in verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So this word live here, it really just means who are. There's really just not a good way to put that in English. Like for those who are according to the flesh doesn't sound good. So that's why they say live. But really it's just the people who are of the flesh, right? The identity that we talked about. If your identity is I'm independent from God, then you're going to set your mind on things. You're going to give your allegiance to things that are opposed to God. But if you're of the Spirit, if your identity is, oh, the Holy Spirit changed me, I'm a new person, you're going to give your allegiance to the things the Holy Spirit likes, things that God wants for you. So what we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit gives you new priorities, right? New values, new sense of importance. You're like, oh, that's important. I used to think it was kind of lame to do that, but now I think it's important. I used to think memorizing the Bible was boring and I would only do it if people bribed me with candy, right? And then I became a Christian and the Holy Spirit showed me, oh man, God's word is so good. It's like a really awesome meal, right? It's like a 3x3 from In-N-Out with a milkshake, right? That's what God's word's like, right? And so what that does, right, is the Holy Spirit changes your priorities, changes what you think is important. Or maybe you used to think that, oh, I just hate loving hard. Like when people are annoying, I hate loving them. It bothers me so much. I don't like it. And then the Holy Spirit changes your life and you're like, oh, you know what? I love how patient God was with me and I want to show that to other people. And your priorities change, your values change, right? Your mindset is different. It changes what you want, changes what's important to you. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, it even changes what you think you need, right? Maybe right now you're like, here's what I really need. I really need $1 million and I really need to be this talented or this smart or whatever. When the Holy Spirit changes your life, you start to think, well, what do I really need? What I need most, I just need more of God because he's the best and I want him. What I really need is I really just need to be with Jesus. That's what I really need because that's the best place for me to be. It changes what you think you need. It changes why you do things, right? Because some of you probably were, you know, you grew up doing the right things and you didn't mind listening to your parents. You didn't mind reading the Bible or doing Christian things, right? But the Holy Spirit changes your motives. Right now, you're not just doing it because your parents said so. Now you're doing it because you're like, this is awesome. I love God. I love his word. I love his people. I love serving. I love doing these things because I love God. God is awesome and I want to do these things. Changes your mentality. It's not like, oh, I have to do this. I guess I got to do it. Now it's, oh, I want to do this. This is great. I get to do this. So the Holy Spirit changes your mentality. And what's interesting about this, right, is it comes from who you are, not other things around you, right? That's where that those who are according to the flesh or who are according to the Spirit have this mindset, right? Who you are is the basis for what you do. Or you could say it like this, being a Christian, right, following Jesus, is more about being than doing. The being changes the doing. A lot of times people do that backward. Oh, if I do all the right things, then that makes me a Christian. Right? If I do the Christian things, I'll become a Christian. That's not how this works. You are a Christian, and then you do the Christian things. Don't get that backward, okay? The things you do come from the person you are. And there's only two kinds of people. You're either a Holy Spirit person or a flesh person, right? You're either a on God's team person or an independent from God person. There's no middle ground here. Sometimes I'm on one team, sometimes on the other. There's no free agency. There's no trades. There's no nothing, right? You either are one type of person or you are the other type of person. You're not 70% a Holy Spirit person and 30% a natural person. You're one or the other, 100% and 0%. So that comes from the inside, not from the outside. So I want to ask you, are the Christian things you do coming from your surroundings or coming from your heart because the Holy Spirit's in you? Do you just do the things because your parents tell you to? Or do you do the things because you want to, because God's given you a new identity? I was watching this comedian recently, and he was talking about different accents, and he was saying that there's learned accents. You know, so there's like the newscaster accent, you know, like 30 people were shot outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico, right? And like there's like the newscaster accent, you know, or there's like the server accent, like, hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A. What can I get for you today, right? There's that, like just the server accent, right? There's that person. There's some other accents too. I don't know, there's a lot of different ones, right? But they're all learned. And really, when you think about it, every accent is a learned accent, right? A British accent, learned accent, because you grew up in it. Some people lose their accent when they move away from somewhere. Some people regain their accent when they come back, right? Like my wife, her family is from Alabama, and her grandma talks with a Southern accent. And when she talks to like her Southern people she knows, or like at work, she'll talk to clients from the South. And over the course of like the 30-minute phone call, she'll slowly start sounding like a Southerner. It's hilarious. Or like my dad, he's from Japan, same thing. When he goes to Japan, if he's there for long enough, he'll like slowly pick up more and more of the accent, right? Accent are learned. They come from outside in, right? The people you live with, the people you surround yourself with, change your voice from the outside, right? They impact you. But your tone of voice, right? What you sound like, just like your natural voice sound, that comes from you, right? You were born with that. That's the difference between going to church and actually being a Christian, right? A lot of you, your Christianity maybe is more like an accent that you learned. You learned the Christian things. You learned the Christian phrases from your parents or from your friends or because you grew up going to church. You learned the accent, and so you sound like a Christian because you just learned the stuff from the outside in. If that's you, you're really one of these people. You're a flesh person. You're not a spirit person. Because that came from the outside, right? Real Christianity comes from the inside. It comes from the Holy Spirit being in you because of who you are. It doesn't come outside in. And so the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside, not from the outside. But those changes show up on the outside. And that's our last point here, is that Holy Spirit changes your activity. So he changes who you are, he changes where you're going, he changes what you think's important, and he changes what you do, how you live. And that's how this works, right? The Holy Spirit changes who you are, and then, of course, that will naturally change how you, rather supernaturally, right? Change how you live. Look at verse 7 here. The mind that is set on the flesh. So remember, the mind that's set on the flesh, where did that come from? The type of person you are. Flesh person, mind is set on the flesh. That makes them act and feel hostile to God because they don't submit to God's law. These are actions, right? Actions, attitudes, beliefs. They can't actually. So a flesh person can't obey God. They're unable to because of who they are. Unable to do it. But, and again, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, if you're a Christian, you're different. You're not a flesh person. You're a spirit person. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, if he lives in you, then who you are is different, which changes how you live, right? Because God lives in you, you should have different thoughts. You should think about different things. You should have different priorities, right? Different dreams. You should have a different schedule, maybe. I used to never read the Bible. I went to church my whole life, never read the Bible. I became a Christian, and I was like, oh, I want God. I want to be in his word. I want to know what he says. I need his wisdom to live my life. And so I started waking up earlier so I could read my Bible. My schedule changed. Not because someone told me to, but because I was like, oh, I want to do this. Maybe you're the way you just tried changes. Maybe before you just hated school, you didn't like school, and you became a Christian, and it's like, oh, well, you know, God loves when I work hard, and I want to do that for him. And so your effort changes. Or maybe your habits change, right? Maybe you delete certain apps, or maybe you don't go to certain websites, or maybe you don't talk to those people anymore. Maybe you have different friends, right? These are all things that change, not because you know, you have to follow the rules to be good enough, but because you say, I want more of God, and I love God, and I'm a different person. I don't do that anymore. That's just not who I am. I'm different now. That's what happens to Christians. And the whole reason is because of this part. The Spirit of God dwells in you, right? When someone lives in you, when God lives in you, it should make a difference. Your life should look different than before it did, right? Even today, if someone lives even in the same house as you, it's clear. It's pretty clear, right? So this isn't my room when I lived on my own, but typical guy room, right? You can tell who lives in this room based on how it looks, right? There's literally nothing on the walls, except maybe this, right? I don't even know if this is a cabinet or what, right? You can tell this is a dude's room, right? You know instantly, no decor, nothing's really cute, no plants, right? This is a dude's room. Probably smells like a dude's room too. Right, my room, when I lived on my own, when I went to school, I didn't buy any decor, right? It's like zero, nothing on the walls, no plants, no anything. I just was like, look, I'm just here to sleep and do homework. Like, I don't need a painting, right? I don't need a flower. I don't need anything, right? That's right. When someone lives with you, right, your dwelling place changes, right? You can tell that there's a girl that lives in this place. Right? You can tell that this is not just a dude's apartment, right? I live here, but it looks way different because there's a girl that lives here too, right? It's cute. It's trendy. The person from our apartment complex that like at the front desk that we had to call them up to fix something, and they walked in and they just totally forgot what they were doing. They're like, this apartment is so cute. They're like, it was like, they literally forgot what they came for. And they like took like a minute to just be like, wow, I love this or whatever. And then like the person who used to live in this apartment, they moved down the hall and they came by and they were like, I love the way it looks, whatever. And it was hilarious. But all to say, right, is when Shay and I started living together, there was a big difference, right, in what my living place looked like. You could tell, oh, it's obvious that someone else lives here now, right? If you're a Christian, it should be obvious that God lives in you. Should be obvious. God lives in you. God, not just someone you met, right? Not just a roommate, not just, you know, your college buddy who you decided to save money with and sleep on the floor together, right? Like you decided You didn't just say, oh, yeah, whatever, right? God lives in you, right? There should be a big difference there. So I hope you see the difference, right? The Spirit changes who you are. It changes where you're going. It changes what you think is important. And the Holy Spirit will change how you live, what you do, what you want, what you think about. And again, all of that is because being a Christian is powered by God. It's supernatural work. If you're a Christian, you cannot do this on your own. God has to do something to you. And so in small groups, I want you to think about, again, do I see evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life? And if I am a Christian, am I trying to do all this on my own? Let's pray and we'll go to small groups. God, we are grateful that we don't have to work really hard to get you to change our life. We don't have to clean ourselves up for you to save us, but we can come to you. And if we confess our sin and trust Jesus to pay for it, then we can have all of our sin gone. We can be perfectly righteous before you, and we can live a truly happy life the way we were made to live. So I pray right now as we think about this sermon, I pray that you protect us from misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. I pray that you protect us from distracting each other and undermining what you're trying to do. I pray that you would help us to help each other and help ourselves to learn how to follow you and follow your Spirit better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.